Happy Saturday. This is Justin Asiri with Beyond the Uniform doing a Behind the Uniform episode. This is just a chance to cover some admin items, cover some random professional thoughts and random personal thoughts. To make this most efficient, I'm adopting what I am self-calling a mullet format. Mullets are the amazing hairstyle that is business up front, party in the back. And so the format for this episode is the same. We're just going to handle some business up front. Business being a couple admin items related to Beyond the Uniform, a couple professional thoughts of just things that are coming up related to interviews I've had recently that haven't aired yet, or just thoughts about military veterans and their civilian career. And then in the last part of the episode, we'll cover some just random personal things that are more related to personal life, work-life balance, thoughts on life, things that I think affect one's career, but want to put that last in case you're just wanting to get the more professional side of things so you're not forced to sludge through that. And so let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got a little note here with seven random thoughts. I'm just going to kind of go through them a little bit ad hoc. So the first one is about a book called Extreme Ownership. Many of you have probably heard of it. God knows I heard at least 20 guests on the show recommend it until I finally got around to listening to it in the last week. It's by Jocko Willink and Leif Babin. You've probably heard of them as well. I first came across Jocko on Tim Ferriss's podcast multiple times. They were both in on a SEAL team in Ramadi, Iraq. Exceptional book. And I do want to give a quick plug. I listened to this book on Audible. In every single one of our show's show notes, there's a link to Audible. It's in the sponsor section. If you click on that link, you get a free audiobook of your choice. I think you have to put in your credit card information and it charges you 30 days later with a membership. So usually in those cases, I just put a reminder on my calendar so I make sure I cancel it prior to that if I'm not enjoying it. But Beyond the Uniform gets $15. You get a free audiobook. It's pretty win-win. I highly recommend this one as an audiobook. Jocko and Leif both read it and they do a really good job. They've got badass voices. So it's an exceptional book for running if you're into listening to books like when you run like I do, or if you listen to audiobooks while feeding a four-month-old baby, which I also do. It makes me feel like a badass at 5 a.m. feeding Bodhi with that bottle of milk, listening to two badass Navy SEALs. So Extreme Ownership, Steve Bain and I kind of were reading this concurrently, which does spark the idea of just throwing it out there. But if people are interested in a Beyond the Uniform book club, we could meet monthly to kind of talk through different books like this. Could actually extract a little bit more value from the book and connect with each other, maybe like in a video conference. But anyways, we both read the book. I think he's just finishing it up. I loved it. It's you know, I listened to tons of books. I gave this one 5 stars on Goodreads, and I have only given that to maybe 20 or 30 books. What I appreciated about it is, first of all, the meticulousness with which they approached it. The intro to the book does a great job of just saying, you know, that they're essentially, in my view, doing this for the right reasons. They're not doing it as, you know, the Navy SEAL that just wants to publish a book. They seem very meticulous in not revealing anything that would remotely compromise anything related to their clients or to the military, which I respect. I think that their storytelling serves a purpose, and that the overall structure of the book is, in general, they have different principles about leadership, about exhibiting extreme ownership. And by that, I interpret that as like full accountability for everything, which should not come as a surprise to most of you in the military. But it's a good reminder for me 10 years out of the military now that, you know, I view it as my family. Anything in my business that goes wrong is 100% my responsibility, and how adopting that mindset can really change positively the way that I approach both my family and my business. But the format that I appreciated about this is it's kind of like a principle. They tell a war story from Ramadi about what happened and how they made a mistake or discovered something and adopted something as a principle. then they apply it to business. And so they run EF Overwatch. They run a company that works with now extremely successful companies where they deal with leadership and management changes and go in and as consultants. And so then they apply that principle and give you a real world scenario of how they were helping an actual client. And it's just great because the war stories are incredible. So I enjoy that aspect of hearing of just really intense situations in Iraq. I was on submarines, so it's very different than my experience. And then when they apply it to the business, it kind of brings the point home. And they also have a each chapter is kind of basically three parts. The other part is teasing out the principle and how it might be applied. So I loved it. I thought it was great. It is one of the rare books that I will probably listen to more than once. There's probably only three books that fall in that category. And they have another book out. Let me just see if I can find this on Amazon really quickly. The Dichotomy of Leadership is the second one. And I need to give a little bit of time in between. It's a little bit too intense to do these back to back, but I'll check that one out too. One of the reasons that I'm reading this is that we're hoping to have either Jocko or Leif on the show. Michael Sorella from a recent episode is trying to hook us up on that, which would be so incredible. But I'm also grateful, we actually tried to do this earlier. I'm really grateful. This is one of those things where the universe conspired for our success. Had I done this interview before, I would not have been prepared. I'd not read the book. And this is definitely one of those interviews where I need to do a lot more homework. So I'm grateful on that. Any other thoughts on that? No, I think that's it. So check that out, Extreme Ownership. Wanted to give that a quick plug. Also, drop me a line if you think the BTU Book Club would be cool. We could do it. It'd be a free thing, maybe once a month on an evening. We connect by video for an hour and just kind of pop a beverage of your choice and chat through the book and kind of try to push each other to learn more from it. Or, discussing these books, sometimes you can extract more value. Second thing is just a little bit more admin. You'll notice if you listen to last Saturday's episode, I shared the takeaways from one of our Beyond the Uniform team meetings. And the gist of part of that was doing less, but better, really just focusing on the podcast until we hear a clear and undeniable pull from our audience to do something in addition to that. So you'll see on the website, I removed our coaching program. I removed the mastermind group. I really stripped out a lot from the website and just wanted to call that out as tangible proof that we're following through on what we said and excited to put more energy into what seems to be having a bigger impact on the community. One thought with this, and this is just today, Steve had sent me a note, and it was about someone who's posting videos every day on LinkedIn. Let me know if video would be interesting to you. I myself am not a fan of video because I listen to a lot of podcasts, I listen to a lot of audiobooks, but I listen to it while I am feeding my baby son or going for a run or driving. And for me, video doesn't have the same appeal because I have to sit down and watch the video, which I'll do sometimes on a lunch break or late at night, but I just don't use video as much. However, if you would benefit from video, that could be short videos, just riffing on a professional idea. It could be video interviews. It could be videos teaching through a course-like structure, different things. Let me know as well. You can use the contact form at Beyond the Uniform or Justin at beyondtheuniform.org. Let me know. It'd be valuable to hear if that's something that would be interesting. And I love that. I'm literally in the same breath talking about pulling things off Beyond the Uniform and then adding them back in. But that's the creative side of me. Next one up, there is this documentary that I came across randomly on Amazon Prime. If you do the Amazon Prime video, which they have a lot of great content, it's included for free with your Prime membership. The documentary is called Almost Sunrise. And I immediately after, I watched this with my wife. Maybe you can relate to this. We kind of like do movies over the course of like 5 days. We do like 20 minutes a night before going to bed. It came out in 2016. It is a documentary about two retired soldiers who are battling moral energies of war and the temptations of suicide and how they walk across America to confront their demons and discover the power of spiritual healing. Totally just read that from Google right now. It was exceptional. I loved this. I just full disclosure, I watched the trailer and teared up watching the trailer and cried watching the movie as well. again, I'm 10 years out from having served, and I did not serve in combat. I was on submarines. And what I think that this documentary does a great job of is it talks about a concept called moral injury that's distinct from PTSD, moral injury being doing things in war, doing things in combat that might run contrary to your personal values or losing faith in the reasons why you did them. That's my interpretation of it, at least. I thought the two guys in this video are really incredible. It's very well put together, but it's literally just you're watching them walk across the country and trying to process and trying to come grips with the actions they took in Iraq, in Afghanistan. And I was very happy as well. It goes beyond that walk. It's not like they reach the coast of California and they have this epiphany. It's just one step further in their journey. And one of the gentlemen in particular goes on to do additional things that really opens them up. And I emailed him immediately afterwards, and we're going to have him on the show in August. And literally the extent to which I reached out to him was, I have this podcast, Beyond the Uniform, and I would love to give you a platform to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Like I just really resonated with his message in the movie, and thought that whatever's most top of mind for him is something I want to have on the show. I think it would be really beneficial. I am curious, for those of you, I can picture myself when I was on active duty, I could picture myself being pretty triggered by this documentary, in the sense that while I was on active duty, I had a lot of thoughts about people talking about their service publicly, and mainly believing like that it should be kept private, that you should not talk about these sort of things. And obviously my views on that have changed quite a bit, where I think that there is an incredible healing component to discussing these things, to discussing the battles that many veterans have with suicide, to discussing the shame that many veterans feel about what they did on active duty. And I'm appreciating at this stage in my life the nuance there, the nuance being that I appreciate people who are proud of their military service as I am, people who are honored to have served in the military as I am, and at the same time to have coexist with that, the feeling that these gentlemen have of a mixture of shame, fear, sadness, regret about things that occurred while they were in the military. And I think that there's a younger version of myself that it wants it to be either or, that wants it to either be, you know, absolute pride with nothing negative voiced, or the other, or, you know, but not both of those. But I think that that's the truth. And I think that the documentary does an exceptional job of capturing these two soldiers' truths of both having pride in their service and recognizing the toll that it took from them as people, and how they've come back wounded and damaged, maybe not physically, but certainly emotionally, and I would argue spiritually. And so check out that documentary. Especially if you disagree with what I'm saying, I would actually love to hear that. Again, I'm 10 years out. I'm not as plugged into the military community as I'd like to be. And so I'd like to especially hear from you if you watch this and you really dislike it. And if you like it, also reach out to me as well. But I want to put both Extreme Ownership and Almost Sunrise on your radar, because there's 2 months or so before this episode will go live, the episode that we haven't even recorded or scheduled yet. But, you know, two, three months gives you plenty of time to knock out an audiobook, gives you plenty of time to knock out a documentary, and wanted to throw that your way. So that's all the professional stuff. The other kind of 3 points are just more of a personal nature, and just throwing this out for 2 cents, as Ron Burgundy said, just throwing this out there. If you don't like it, just send it on back. But just wanted to share 3 random thoughts that I think may benefit our audience, but you know, have certainly benefited me. And this is kind of unscripted, just off the cuff from the heart. One thing is, you know, there's a lot I've been thinking about lately about anger. I think as a man, I have a lot of anger, and a lot of times it comes out sideways with my wife, or it comes out, you know, just not when I plan it to. And I've started to learn more and more, or at least a couple practices that work for me, or mindsets, is that when we experience this anger, you got to do something to get it out. You know, I don't believe that, certainly I can't, maybe people can, you can't just bottle it up or press it down or just power through it. You can't just grit your teeth and go through it. There has to be some way of actually moving that anger out of your system. And certainly exercise is one. There's been many times where I just go for a really long run and run the anger out of me. I think that that's one way to do it. But two ways that both of which have felt silly when I first did it and actually work really well. I wish I did them more often, but one is a friend gave this to me, is literally going somewhere in your house and taking a towel and just bunching it up and just fucking letting loose into it, just yelling as loud as you can into that towel. And it feels so weird to do it. And there's, you know, I'm so self-conscious on the few times that I have done this, but when I have done it, it's amazing in 20 seconds how much better I feel. And just moving that energy through myself and letting it out in a bathroom when no one's home, like it really drops the level down on what I'm feeling like by an order of 10. It's really extreme. And as opposed to a 45 minute, 60 minute run, that's like a 20 second practice that I would encourage those of you. I know many of you probably don't relate to what I'm saying, but if you do feel that anger boil up, and you know, for me, it comes out most with the person I trust most, which was my wife. She's like the one person I'm comfortable being an asshole to, which sucks because she's the person I care most about. So I found this practice of yelling into a towel is really helpful. And then another one that a different friend gave me is literally went and bought at Target a wiffle bat for $8. And, This friend of mine literally did this for me. He's like, look, I set a timer for a minute, which I can't really do a minute. I can do like 30 seconds. But he literally just takes the wiffle bat and goes to like a bed or a pillow and just beats the shit out of it with this wiffle bat. And he was, you know, when he did this for me, he was like venting and just kind of just letting whatever was on his mind out. And it was, to watch this was kind of, you know, again, awkward, but like I saw he looked like a different person afterwards. He kind of got it out. And that's been my experience. I've only done this maybe 3 or 4 times, but those times it really helps. And so wanted to throw those out as just practices to just try on, see if it works for you. And hopefully that helps if you ever struggle with the same thing. A second thing was just a note on gratitude. And I had this powerful moment last weekend. My wife and I live in Denver, Colorado, and about an hour and 15 minutes away near the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, there's a great hotel called the Broadmoor Hotel, which for me, it actually has some history. At business school at Stanford, my summer internship I did with a consulting company called McKinsey & Company. These consulting companies have what they call a sell weekend. So towards the end of your internship, they fly all of the interns, all the summer interns out to one location for a sell weekend where they are literally wining and dining you and showering you in luxury, trying to convince you to sign and go work there. And for my sell weekend with McKinsey, we went to the Broadmoor. It's this 5-star hotel. It's the first time I've ever experienced, I mean, I grew up going to like Holiday Inn and stuff like that. It's the first time I ever experienced a turndown service. I like walked into my room and there was like music playing and my sheets were pulled back and there was like chocolate on the bed. I'm like, who the hell's been in here? And apparently that's a thing at really nice hotels to do a turndown service. They don't do that at La Quinta where I have stayed before. So my wife and I, you know, we just kind of last minute pulled the trigger and went there for a night. It was our first overnight out of town experience with our son Bodhi, who's 4 months old now. And you know, when I was there, I have a lot of this comparative mindset where, you know, I'm always looking at my classmates from business school or from people I see on Facebook or on LinkedIn, and this part of me that gets activated is like, oh, I wish that I wish I had raised $200 million for my startup, or I wish that I was buying a brand new Tesla, or whatever the thing of the moment is. And it's always kind of this comparative sense where invariably I'm in the lesser position. Invariably, I'm only having this happen to the people that I perceive as being more successful or happier or more fulfilled than I am. And I had this moment there where partly the people who were there, who seemed like they come from a lot of money, or, you know, just whatever else was on my mind, I was having this moment of like, oh, shucks, you know, I wish that my life were better. And I'm really grateful, but for whatever reason, I kind of caught myself. And it was kind of like, you know, pardon the language, but it's like, are you fucking kidding me type of thing of like, I am in this incredible world-class hotel where I was lucky enough to not even have to like plan ahead for this. We were just able to pull the trigger on this, and I'm living this life where I can take my family and do this, and we're in this incredible location, and just a lot of gratitude for what I have. And it made me realize how often I let go of what I have in searching for what I feel like others have. And I hope that makes sense, but the reason that I wanted to bring it up on the show is I think that we can often do that in our careers, and particularly for those of you who are on active duty and contemplating getting out, or those of you who are in a job and contemplating moving on to another job. I have no idea what you should or shouldn't do there, right? Like, everyone's unique. And you may be better off in the military, you may be better off outside of the military, you may be better off in your current role or at a different role. I don't have the answer there. But what I would encourage you to do is, regardless, is to take a moment to just reflect on all the things to be grateful for wherever you're at. And the worst thing that I could imagine is someone leaving the military out of a false perception that the grass is greener, that you will be happier, that you are not happy now and you will be happier on the other side, or that you are not happy in your current civilian job, but you will be happier at that next job, at that next promotion, at that next company. And I think that there's oftentimes the perception that things will be different, or we will be different in different circumstances, when at least my experience has been very little in the long term, maybe in the short term, 2 to 3 months, very little in the long term changes with a shift in location, job, salary, whatever else. We kind of resort back to our baseline of happiness. And that's one piece, is kind of that thought of gratitude. And the other thought is, I just always come back to Cal Newport and his book, So Good They Can't Ignore You. You can search for it on the site. There's a great interview with him about that book. But I think about that book more than any other, in the sense of, like, you know, he talks about whatever you're doing right now, don't worry about anything else. Just do that job. Just knock it out of the park. Put your head down and work your butt off, and good things come from that. It's similar to my conversation with Billy Hurley, the PGA golfer who is a Navy veteran, who in his interview, it still stuck with me, he talks about, you know, in the military, he just did his best job as a surface warfare officer. That was his job. He wasn't worried about golf. He wasn't trying to think of things to do and ways to get out of things. He just knocked it out of the park and did his ultimate best in that role. And that kind of came up as part of this whole thought. I know this is a little bit rambling, but that thought of, like, again, if you're on active duty, plan for the future. You're eventually going to have a civilian career. Plan for that, but really keep the lion's share of your attention on crushing whatever it is your job is. And that would be my you know, hope for you. If you're in a civilian job and you're unhappy, great. Start to talk to people. Start to have coffee chats. Start to do research. Start to figure out what you want. Get clarity on that. But reserve the lion's share of your attention to really give your all in whatever you're doing. So hope that makes sense. And then one thought, this is something I was going to bring up two times ago, and I ran out of time. But the final thought I had is just around acceptance of praise, or acceptance of positivity versus acceptance of criticism. And I bring this up because I imagine there is part of this from me that comes from the military, and there's just a strong intuition that other veterans, or at least some of those listening, may struggle with this as well. But I'll give you the particular story here. My wife and I like to do these silent meditation retreats where we'll go away for 7 or 10 days and spend the time at a retreat with instruction without speaking and with, you know, you're meditating most of the day. You're sitting and meditating, you're walking and meditating, you're washing the dishes and meditating. And it has a very profound impact on both of us. And I recorded an episode about that. So if you search for that on the site for meditation retreats, you'll hear a deeper dive on that. But we did this, I think it was a 10-day retreat a couple of years ago. And you know, the impact is it just really slows you down after 10 days of not speaking, not checking email, not watching the news, just not reading, you know, just all of that. You just drop down to just a more slower pace, and you're so much more aware of what's going on in your body and around you and all these different things. And at the end of these retreats, usually they kind of bring you out slowly, where you'll get in a group of three and they'll like walk you through an exercise of literally having a minute to speak. And it's a way of coming out of this intense period of silence back into communicating with others. And I was paired up with two other people, and we had like a minute to speak. And one of the guys said something to me that was, you know, it was complimentary. He said, "Oh, I saw you doing this and it really encouraged me." In some way, he was giving me praise. And because I was coming from this state of 10 days of silence and listening to my body and just kind of really being settled and aware of what's going on, I really noticed that his words, I didn't really let them in. Like he said something very kind, and rather than like accepting that, or rather than even just feeling the goodness of it, it was almost like this sense of like pushing it away or deflecting it or just not even letting it in. And the image I've had since then is like, man, I think that and I can see the evolutionary aspects of this, and I can certainly see how this benefited me in the military. But it feels like at times, like the mental image I get is of those carnival games where you have to put the bean bag through the hole. And when I picture that, I picture like when it comes to criticism, I've got this really big gaping hole. Like it's pretty easy to throw this bean bag if it's criticism and get it in there. Like it's going to hit me. I'm going to think about it. It's going to keep me up at night. I'm going to like try and find a way to improve on it. And there's many ways in which that's good, that helps me work harder and be a better person. But if, you know, that beanbag is praise, if it's something that's complimentary or something positive about me, the hole for that is pretty tiny. And you've got to be like a freaking sniper to get that beanbag through there, to actually get it penetrate where it's like it has an impact on me. And I don't have this person's permission, but there's someone that I work with, to use their name, there's someone I work with who said the same thing, where, you know, I'd given him an email, a compliment, and he'd said, "Hey, you know, I appreciate that. It's just hard for me to take that." And so it just makes me think that I'm not alone in this. And, you know, another way I've thought of it before is like turning up the volume on criticism. So even, you know, something that's said neutrally, I take as criticism. It's not even criticism. And I would just put that out there for you to try that on and see if that's true for you. If so, like that's something I'm actively working on, is when someone compliments me, really taking a second. Like I can try and rush on or move the conversation onwards, or, you know, shut down or go on and do something else, but really just trying to give it room to like let that in. And that's also a gift to whoever's giving it. Like when I compliment someone, if they just brush it off, it's kind of like, oh, that doesn't feel good to me as the person complimenting them either. But it's also, I think, a better way to get to neutral emotionally. Like if we're just constantly taking things in that are negative and we're not taking the things in that are positive, that's going to affect our outlook. I think it's going to make us less productive. It makes me less productive. It makes me less creative. It makes me less energized to try new things. And again, relating this back to the military, I can see why that is an asset. I mean, if on my submarine, if I'm getting criticism from my captain, like it's making me a better officer. It's making me a better leader. It's making me a better submariner. Like there's so many ways in which it's very, very helpful from a survival standpoint to be highly tuned in to any criticism and any feedback that's negative. But I would submit to you that it's just as valuable, and likely not as experienced as much, at least for me in the military, it wasn't experienced as much, to hear the positive and learn what we're doing well so that we can do more of that and strengthen that muscle. So that is all I've got for today. Let me know your thoughts on how we can make the podcast more helpful, anything we can do in particular. We've got a great lineup of episodes coming your way based specifically on your feedback. Those will start to air towards the end of July, early August. So there will be a little bit of delay between the feedback and our action on it, but we are, rest assured, responding to that feedback. Have a great week. Have a great rest of the weekend. Check out Almost Sunrise and Extreme Ownership. Let me know what you think, and I will be back on Monday, Thursday with interviews with military veterans about their civilian career, and most likely Saturday with random musings in this mullet format. Take care.